when people hear about what we do and sort of get what they do, their eyes do light up. You know, they're like, wow, like you're using running to do this? That's so cool. Like, I just ran the Boston Marathon for a cause. Everyone has a story around running that I think has created change with others or within themselves.
This is Running for Real, the podcast for runners who know that for every runner's high, there are just as many lows. All those just missed PRs, easy runs that feel hard, injury blues, and more. Each week, we'll talk to running, health, and wellness experts about their highs, lows, and best advice to build our confidence. Running for Real is about being honest, being brave, and most of all, not feeling alone. And now here's our host, Tina Muir.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 137 of the Running for Real podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am really happy you are here, and I'm excited to tell you about this today. Now, last week we had Lauren Fleshman on the show. It was a wonderful conversation. It was a lot focused on how we can be present while we are also looking at other things ahead, because it quite often feels conflicted, doesn't it, when you have something you want to achieve and you're also trying to be present in the moment. We also talked about a lot of other things, and it was a really deep and just kind of honest conversation. I really enjoyed it. And if you haven't already listened, you should go check it out because it's a really good one. Now, today I am excited to bring to you one of my brand new sponsors, a brand I was very excited to sign with. And I can officially tell you I am sponsored by Janji. You know now that brands are very important to me, but also what they stand for is really important, not just for who I work with, but even who I follow, who I purchase from, who I look at. This brand really does stand out for that reason, and they started with the right intentions. You're going to hear that today. Now, today we're going to meet one of the co-founders of Janji. I originally wanted to bring on both of the co-founders, but it was going to take us a few more months to actually coordinate a time that would work for all three of us. So I just went ahead and recorded with Dave Spandorfer because I really wanted to get this episode out to you. I wanted to hear the story for myself, to be honest. So it's a little bit selfish there, but I think you're really going to enjoy it too. Now, this is not one big ad. This is just me genuinely interested in learning about the process of going from an idea in the back of a van all the way up to competing against Nike and really getting out there, voted one of Runner's World's favorite shorts of the year. I was just fascinated how this works and just what do those bigger brands do to try and squash you or shut out a little guy if they're coming up. Really interesting. It was also so heartwarming for me to hear, and I really hope you do listen and learn from this. I've been thinking a lot lately about how I want to make this podcast a place to make change, to share things that will help and inspire people, and this is definitely the latter. Hopefully it can inspire someone out there, one of you listening, to be brave and go for that dream of starting a business you've always had in the back of your mind. You never know where it could go. Anyway, I'm going to let Dave tell you more, so let's get to it. This episode of the Running for Real podcast is supported by Body Health. You know by now that Body Health love to sponsor me, love to help you and help us to train. That you've heard me talking about this for years. I love them. They care about me. They care about you. They want us to succeed and to do it in a healthy, holistic way. They also have a 100% money back guarantee. So what do you have to lose if you haven't already tried it? Now, this is marathon training time. Marathon training is really starting to ramp up, which means it's the ideal time. It's when I had the most impact during my years in an elite. It would give me the confidence that I knew I was recovering, even if I wasn't able to eat at times as well as I would like to. Each 10 gram serving of Perfect Amino, which is 10 tablets, is the equivalent to 35 grams of dietary protein. Most people, however, do take 5. I would take 10 in marathon training just because I felt I needed it. And I have been asked a few questions lately about those of you who have purchased about when to take it. It doesn't really matter exactly when you take it as long as you keep it away from fats and proteins before you take it. I go through various phases depending on what's going on in my life, but during heavy training, I found it was best to take it immediately after a run. That gave me 20-ish minutes to stretch, roll, or do other things, you know, like gulping down some liquid that I've been dreaming about for the last 10 minutes, or maybe not even 10 minutes, I'd say hour and a half maybe sometimes. But either way, it gave me that time to kind of get my body going, know that I was doing something towards my recovery, and then I could eat my meal. I knew I was getting the 8 essential amino acids to begin recovery process, and I could feel confident that my body was beginning to repair itself. You can get 10% off the entire body health site by visiting tinamuir.com/aminos. That's tinamuir.com/aminos. Go get yourself some perfect amino. It will really help your training. Dave, thank you so much for joining me on the Running Fuel podcast. I am really excited to have you on, although honestly, I don't know how we're not best friends with the amount of people that we know and are very close to and have been for years. Somehow we've managed to dodge each other. So I don't know what happened there. But welcome.
I know, and it's great to finally have this conversation. I feel like the running world is pretty small. Mm. People have a lot of connections, but the connection that you and I have is just ridiculous.
Just for clarification, one example is one of my bridesmaids, and I was a bridesmaid in her wedding, was on the team in school, and you'll hear a lot about why that team is important with Dave and Mike, the co-founder of Janji. Which is just an insanely small world, because not only was it a running team, you know, people are thinking probably Oregon, Colorado, like one of these massive teams. We're talking about WashU in St. Louis, not exactly a massive university. I met our friend Liz completely by chance. And yeah, just really, really weird. And we've got plenty of those friendships. So I'm looking forward to talking to you now in person. Now we can actually see you, and we're not in the same place. But one thing one of my friends did tell me that I would like to start with is just a funny place to start. I hear you love to dance, to be in the center of the ring.
Yeah, so, I knew that would come.
Yeah. So I think we should include a show note video of that to go along. Some kind of evidence of this?
No. I was hoping, you know, the memories that you make in college, you hope just stay in college. And now that this is in front of all these people, the great thing about running like Division III is that you do create these like really great friendships. You do create these lasting memories. And some of those memories, unfortunately, when we were getting started, was very much in the social media world. It's just right up there for everyone to save forever. So
they were really on social media? I guess social media was still, maybe not to the extent it is now, but it was still big enough to would have been on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I think when we first got Janji started, we were in the days in which like Facebook just got the like button. Mm. And now we're in a world in which like Facebook is the majority of our marketing spend. It's how Instagram really is how most people actually hear about us. And so, you know, when we were first like getting this business plan started, Facebook was around, Instagram certainly wasn't, Snapchat certainly wasn't, but it certainly was making an impact certainly between people.
Mm. And actually, we can talk about that. I'd be interested to hear how social media did change your ability to be able to get out there. But first, for someone who is saying, what are you two saying? You're using a word and I don't understand what that means. What is Janji?
Yeah, so Janji is the brand that I got started in college with my co-founder and track teammate, Mike. And the whole concept behind Janji is that we want to use running as this way to explore and to connect and to really create change through running. And so we do that through creating a new line every single season where the inspiration comes from different countries around the world. And when somebody buys a piece of clothing from that country's line, so for instance, the brand new Mexico line, 5% of the sale goes back toward funding clean water projects in that country. So we're working with all these artists in these places that we get this inspiration. We're giving back. And then we're also, you know, really trying to create connections. We want the world to be closer together. We want to bring people closer together through running. And we think like, you know, even though running is this individual sport, when we were in college, you know, we had like, you know, our mutual friend Liz, we made these amazing connections. We were able to establish this way of seeing the world through running. You know, running for us in college was a passport to see the world around us, whereas a lot of college students just stick on their campus. And we really wanna create change through this sport that we love. We know there's all these races for causes. We wanted to create a brand that allowed runners to give back each and every time they work.
I love that. And just before we go on, what does the name mean? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so it means promise in Malay. And we actually, so when we first got Jandu started in college, we were called Edele, E-D-E-L-E. And that was sort of, it was the Ethiopian language, Amharic. It was the name for opportunity. And the problem with that is that everyone confused us for the singer Adele. And so, so we made this change like afterwards, and just, you know, with promise, like our promise is to use running as this powerful vehicle to really just create that change in the world. And so it's really been an amazing name, and it's also been sort of like sort of this North Star for us, you know, this promise of really trying to create something meaningful with the business.
Yeah. And you mentioned that the idea came up in college. You went to WashU in St. Louis, as I mentioned. And, you know, college kids, you know, although you were at a very prestigious university, aren't typically thinking about how they can give back to the world, how they can create something, how they can start a business while they're in college. So for you, when did the kind of thought of thinking beyond running just being something to get an All-America award or to, you know, get a personal best, when did that start coming into your head?
So the original idea for Jandu actually came on the way to the Division III track championship meet in, this was like Cleveland, Ohio. So we were on the bus. So you can imagine we were on the bus. We were on the bus with like our mutual friend Liz. We were with all of our teammates. And we were sort of percolating with this idea. I was like, okay, there is, you know, I think a need for a brand out there that goes for something bigger. We think that there's a need for just like more unique, different looking running apparel. And so we actually literally on the way to this track meet, we started typing up this business plan. So we were on like a Word document. We just started typing it up.
So can I just pause you there? You said about something missing and it being different. Like, what were you looking at and saying, you know, there has to be more than this? Were you looking at, like, what brand were you wearing? Were you all wearing a particular brand? Were you all frustrated with something about a brand? Like, where did this
come? We all just wore, like, the same, like, black Nike sport shorts.
Okay.
Like, we all just sort of wore Nike. Maybe some of us wore Brooks. Maybe some Asics and Adidas. These larger brands that really had no story behind them. I guess it was, like, pretty good. I mean, it was like special, right? It was like the standard seaming, the standard black all over design. Like nothing was that unique. But even more interesting was there was nothing about this that spoke to anything beyond just like the people who own the company sort of getting rich, right? There was nothing about it behind speaking toward a larger story of, you know, what running is and what can become. And you saw this with all sorts of other types of industries that have had this disruption around storytelling. So, you know, when we first had this idea started back in like 2011, when the ideas were percolating, Tom's Shoes was around. Mm. It was a shoe brand that had something a bit bigger to it. And we said, you know what, like this, it totally deserves to have something in this sport of running. I mean, 37 million people run. There should be some sort of brand that's about more than just elite performance. And so typing on the business plan competition, there was a need, I think, out there for unique designs. And there was also, you know, a need out there for something that spoke to the modern consumer. And so, you know, as we sort of typed this up and afterwards, as we both ran the 10K at the championship meet, and it was a really hot day, painfully hot day. There were 25 laps around the track of just, it was like 90 degrees in May, something like that. We were getting sprayed down on one side, we were getting water handed out to us on the other side. And that's sort of where the idea of giving clean water for Jandu crystallized. I did some tutoring for Ethiopian Eritrean refugees in college. And I'd heard stories about the lack of clean water from these people out of tutoring. But really the concept came from, look, you know, water is something that every runner needs. Water is something that really connects everybody. You know, every major city is connected with water. Every person needs water. This is this connective tissue that I think like really bridges the differences between humanity, right? It brings us kind of like all, it's all something that we must have. And frankly, it's something that 700 million people around the world lack easy access to potable water. And we thought we could really make that change with a brand that stood for something bigger and that would draw in the runner who cares about running for something more than just the fastest possible time.
Mm-hmm. And when this idea was kind of coming up, this wasn't, I just want to kind of clarify for people, this wasn't, you know, you both had a project to do in school and you needed to find something, anything to fill that with. Like, this was literally an organic thing of like, you two friends just kind of, and you know, I, having been in a van full of guys, the conversations in college, the conversations you guys have are just totally different to the ones the females would have. So I could definitely.
Well, we had those conversations too, you know, like, you know, we did talk about sports and stupid guy stuff, but you know, when you're sort of thinking about how much running, you know, at the time we were reflecting on how much running had given to us. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, where would I be without running? You know, I would definitely be at a different life path. I would have different friends. Might have been at a different school. It really gave a sense of purpose and it gave a sense of meaning and it gave a sense of, you know, finding these connections that I think everyone in the world should have. Mm-hmm. Right? And we were so lucky to be doing what we're doing. You know, when you have these sort of moments of gratitude and that happened at this championship meet, things just kind of crystallized, and it didn't help that, like, you know, we were both, you know, nearing the end of our time at WashU, and we really wanted to figure out, okay, can we make something of this, mm-hmm. right? Can we make something that's passionate, that it comes from the passion that we have for what we love to do? And so we actually did. So after we came up with this idea.
So we actually did enter a business plan competition after we came up with this idea of the track meet. So if you sort of like think about it, that was going into my senior year. Mm-hmm. So we entered a business plan competition and we also went into like a class at the same time. And so WashU has this ability, or she says, but they have this competition set up that's focused on social businesses.
Oh.
So the social, it was like really nice because like this is sort of how we thought about ourselves. Yeah. You know, WashU wanted there to be a competition that allowed students and really people in the community to sort of create a better world through for-profit companies. Mm-hmm. And so we went into this class at the same time as we entered into this competition, and we ended up winning like $25,000 from this competition. Wow. And the cool thing about that is it sort of gave us like the funding, and then it gave us the confidence to actually like get this thing off the ground. We got in the class too, so that was nice.
That's awesome. Well, that's always good. And was it kind of one of those things that once this started, like pretty much from that day you thought about it, you know, that was all you thought about? Like, it just kind of, because it's kind of one of those, you know, they say like when you want a certain car, you start seeing it everywhere. Or,
yep.
You know, was it one of those things where everything you did kind of suddenly was like giving you ideas, giving you inspiration? You were just thinking about it all the time?
Totally. It's like, you know, to a hammer, everything's a nail. That's kind of like how it was for us. It was like, all right, it was the clothes that we wore. It was like the people we ran against. It was, you know, runners in the park. It was looking at retail, it was thinking about like a digital presence. Everything sort of shifted our whole lens. And like, we didn't have like a good idea of like what my co-founder, what we wanted to do after college. So I was a history major and an international business major, and he was a urban studies major. So those aren't majors that actually have like a very clear career path. And mm-hmm. so I sort of said like, hey, maybe I'll like teach English in Russia, you know, for a year or something after college. And this gave us like a very clear direction, and it focused sort of our career trajectory and focused our minds on like trying to build something pretty cool after college. Mm-hmm.
And so what was the next step after that? I mean, you know, it's one thing to win a competition, to take a class, but yep. I mean, most of us know from taking classes in college or even just any kind of class, you know, not everything is going to be relevant. Not everything is going to be remembered. Yeah. Like, how did you know what to do next?
Great question. we just sort of like put ourselves, okay, like here's when we're going to run out of money, right? Like, let's launch the product before we run out of money. And so we said like, okay, like 10 months after that, let's like, you know, this spring of the next year, we wanted to launch the line. And so there were production issues. So to give you a sense, in the beginning, we sourced from like 15 different factories. Some were domestic in the US, some were, you know, in Vietnam and India. And we ended up finding, actually like through our college, someone who's willing to work with us, a very small manufacturer to produce these shorts in China. And that sort of gave us like a trajectory on how we were going to launch the business. It's okay. Like, when do we need this stuff by? Okay. When do we want to produce it by? Okay. Like, when are we going to run out of money? And those three things together, along with some commitments from stores, really allowed us to get Jonji started. And so the following year we launched in about like 25 specialty stores.
What kind of stores are we talking about? Like local running stores?
That's exactly right. Okay. Yeah. So our local one in St. Louis is Big River Running Company. Mm-hmm. That was the first store to ever carry us.
Okay. And then, well, firstly, so at this point it was just shorts. Is that correct?
Shorts. Yeah. Shorts and like flag-based t-shirts. So in the beginning, all of our designs came from like flags. And over time, we've evolved the business model to really focus on a single country per season and focusing in on working with local artists to make these lines happen.
So let's kind of talk about, I don't know how to do this without jumping around too much, but I'd love for you explain the process. You know, you briefly mentioned it earlier about working with different countries. Tell us about how you decide on a country that you want to work with, what the process involves for you. You know, you mentioned going to the designers. Tell the listeners in detail what that involves.
Yeah, so it's a pretty interesting process. So we want to go somewhere in which there's a need for clean water. We want to go somewhere where we can pull really beautiful, amazing inspiration from these countries. And we want to go somewhere where, you know, it's safe to be, safe to operate, right? And so the line that we just launched, which is Mexico, you know, there are a lot of parts of Mexico that have this big need around clean water. Well, what we do is we go to these countries and we'll meet with a local artist there. So for instance, for some of the product that we released on August 14th, we worked with this like really cool Oaxacan designer named Ma. And Ma is, what she does is she actually makes these murals and then also makes rugs out of them. Hmm. And so we commissioned her to make this beautiful singlet that is sort of inspired by traditional Mexican artwork. And she designed it and then made a rug out of it. So it was like this really cool, like holistic way. We visited her in Oaxaca. We met her dog. You know, there's a whole process in which you want to like pull some great inspiration from people we meet and artists we work with and geological formations, all sorts of things with that country, and then give back specifically to that country. Cause the goal is really like, you know, running in your, you know, the same loop in your neighborhood is fine, right? Plenty will do it. Running on treadmills, fine. Plenty will do it. But we really want running to be this way to fundamentally explore the world. You know, how can it like be this passport so you can see more around you than just sort of the traditional, you know, loop that you do? And so that really is what like this Mexico line is we want to highlight Mexico through running and highlight some of the heritage through the designs.
Okay. This might end up being a controversial topic, but was any part of it being Mexico with kind of a, I don't want to say like, it's not negative light at all, but kind of there are some tough conversations going on. Like, did any part of you kind of want to show how beautiful and what amazing things Mexico has to offer when, you know, sometimes it can just be kind of negativity surrounded this kind of relationship between America and Mexico?
100%.
Okay.
That's totally what we want to do. We don't want to just focus on sort of like, I think this larger media narrative around what's happening on the border. You know, we want to focus on just like how incredible the country is, how incredible the people are, how beautiful it is, right? It's not just like, okay, you know, let's say the news cycle picks up that there's some gang violence in this one city. It's like, no, like there's a lot more to this country than that. Like some of our closest friends that we work with at Janji are from Mexico. We visit them all the time. We do tours around the whole world with them. They're called Ari Libre. We want to showcase the, you know, how amazing this country is, both from their biggest cities to their rural areas, and, you know, really get a sense of what it's like there and specifically what it's like through the sport of running.
I love that. And you mentioned just a few minutes ago about running being that thing to explore, even, you know, beyond your own city, but even for most of us within our own cities, running around our area has taken you down roads you would never typically drive down or run down. You found new roads, new trails, new parks, new paths, all kinds of things. And running, for many of my listeners, I know, is one of the best ways, you know, going on vacation to explore somewhere. And even people now quite often go to pick their races based on going to a city, you know, to do a race in that city. So I love that that kind of aligns very well with what a lot of my listeners are all about, kind of running being so much more than just something to run faster or to get a time next to your name. And that was one of the major reasons, Dave, when you first reached out to me, I mentioned to you, I think I sent you one of the most excited emails ever.
Yes, you did.
To you.
Yeah, I loved it. It was one of these emails where you like look in your inbox, you're like, yes, like this is why email should exist, right? Like we have this connection. I think you're right. I think like I'm in the Running for Real Facebook group. Like I love how excited many runners are to use running as not just a check off the box in the morning or training for this race, but really as this way to open your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's fundamentally, I think that's why there is alignment here, is that, you know, you want running to be a lot more than just fast. And we want running to be this way of, okay, exploring, how do we meet people in the place that we go to, right? So we do all these trips around the world. Like, how do we use that running as this way to explore different cultures in a very authentic way? You know, how do we, when you go through the design process, highlight these artists in these countries so that people can say, okay, there's more to this country. Like our last season was Cambodia. There's more to Cambodia than sort of what I initially read about. It's actually a beautiful country and they're filled with like amazing artists. Mm-hmm. And seeing that is just, I think, through running is some of the most powerful experiences you can have.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I have had so many compliments on many of the items that I've been wearing around, like people that I've seen, they've been like, wow, that's so cool. Particularly there's some of the previous line Cambodia, many of my listeners, I'm sure you've seen the pictures, are of gestures with hands. And one of them is fruit. Tell us what some of the other ones are. Can't remember.
Yeah, so that was designed by this cool Cambodian artist named Chefumi. So he does this really great murals all around the capital city of Cambodia, Phnom Penh. He works with a lot of like local kids to sort of inspire them to do art and to sort of highlight Cambodian heritage. And so he has all these like hand signals that actually comes from traditional Cambodian dance. Mm-hmm. And we actually had someone who was Cambodian, who lived in America. She did Cambodian dance in New York, and she just could not believe how cool it was. Cause she's like, wow, like this is a symbol for like grow and for like, you know, and for fruit and for water, and to tell that through, you know, the designs of it. I think, yeah, it really means something. And it highlights these aspects of culture that I think most Americans, just including myself, by the way, most Americans are often oblivious to.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you have been able to kind of take that and do something different, and not just do something that's meaningful with the patterns and work with a local artist. I mean, that in itself just like warms my heart. Everything about what you guys do for this brand just makes me just feel so good about the world. And I want to mention to my listeners, do you remember a few months ago when we had Claire Gallagher on the show? She she, I'm sure you heard this, Dave. She messed up
the name. Oh, I did hear this. I loved it. It was actually fantastic. It made me really happy.
She messed up the name. She did say...
She said Gingy?
I think she said, yeah, Gingy or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, she was talking about, you know, she's sponsored by Patagonia. And then she mentioned one other brand that was doing amazing things, and it was Gingy. She, again, did say the name wrong, but I said, did you mean Gingy? I corrected her, and she said yes. So it was definitely you she was referring to.
And she described what we did, which was awesome. Yeah. Like, look, I mean, we're in the same brand as Patagonia. That gets us pretty excited. We want to use running as this force of change. Mm-hmm. Patagonia uses, you know, I think the outdoors as this force for change. And if we can have this discussion going like farther, I mean, look, it's like nice to sell stuff, right? And the business has evolved a lot in the past, you know, 7 years since we got this started. We've grown more this year than any year in the past. And part of that's like people are kind of picking up on this message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like it's great to have this amount that goes to clean water. To us, that's incredibly impactful. And we have this program called Gingy Collective, which is a membership program that allows runners to essentially give $50 directly to clean water, and then they get 15% off Gingy gear for life. They get a free Gingy singlet, and they get access to all these trips with these big discounts. Early access to product and sales. And that stuff's, I mean, if we can just make a difference through running, that's amazing. And mm-hmm. I think the reason Gingy has done so well lately is that more and more and more people, you know, whether it's Claire Gallagher or it's whether it's you or it's whether it's someone off the street, just really cares about making an impact with the product that they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening more now than definitely ever before. And people want to have sort of see that authenticity from these artists in these different countries to sort of tell this like cool story. And that's not something that existed when we first got this company started.
Yes. And I want to go into that in just a second, just to reiterate. So we have the Gingy Collective. I will put a link to that in the show notes. You can also get 10% off at Gingy.com. Dave and Mike have generously given a coupon code, which is my name, Tina Muir. If you want to get 10% off, I'll mention that a few times, but now's a good point to go say that if you want to go check it out. But I want to go back to, you know, where you've come from that, you know, 2011, 2012 time. But just staying on the topic of patterns, you know, it is different, which is wonderful, unique, stands out. And a lot of running clothes is very samey, and it feels like they are kind of stretching very far to try and be different, but sometimes it doesn't work. But have you had any kind of negativity towards, you know, maybe someone who doesn't understand the meaning behind it, and they've kind of made a remark, and how have you kind of overcome that and calmly explained to them like why this is so much more and why it is different?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're not, you know, we don't want to be the brand that appeals to everyone doing everything. And there are people who like simple patterns, right? People who like sort of what they've been running in for the past, now we'll say 15 years, right? They don't want to change anything. But the cool thing about what we're doing is that I think most people do find generally that with Gingy, there's something that they like that no other brand is offering.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the patterns, that could be the clean water element, that could be the local artists. It's something that, I mean, this is part of why I love doing Gingy. It's just the runners are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Runners are just like genuinely like really great people. I don't know what it is about runners. Maybe it's just like the endorphins that are kicking in all the time just make you like a better person. But the response that we've gotten since we got this started, and this could be what we see through customer support tickets, or it could be what we see, you know, when we used to go to like expos like all around the country,
mm-hmm.
and just like talking to people, when people hear about what we do and sort of get what they do, their eyes do light up.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, wow, like you're using running to do this. That's so cool. Like mm-hmm. my daughter went to Cambodia, or I just ran the Boston Marathon for a cause. Like everyone has a story around running that I think has created change with others or within themselves. And so it does resonate, I would say, with almost everyone, even if some people are like, okay, I love what you're doing, but I want like a more plain piece of clothing.
And you do have a few things that are kind of more mainstream. I have a pair of shorts that are just black. So there are some simple things if someone wants that. But I just was curious about that. So let's go back and talk about, you know, just how far you've come. For someone listening, just how difficult is it to break into the apparel industry as kind of essentially from scratch when you're competing against these giants who have established themselves, you know, for years?
Yeah, I'll have some sort of aspiring entrepreneur. I'll be like, how did you get started? Like, you know, how can I get into like apparel manufacturing? I'm just like, don't do it. Don't do it. Do anything else with this. It's, you know, the thing is that when things are like where we're at now, things are really good. And we're able to, we have a great, you know, great manufacturer in Vietnam and Peru who are just so fabulous to work with. And we have a great team and we've got a great warehouse and we have blah, blah, blah. But I think you alluded to it. It is pretty hard because, you know, everyone has an idea of what they like. And everyone has an idea of their favorite piece of, you know, their favorite shorts or their favorite shoes, and to convince people to change that. And we didn't raise a whole bunch of money, right? We didn't raise a whole bunch of like venture capital money when we got this business started, or even now. We wanted to make sure that we did the right way. And when you don't have those resources right away and you can't pour all that money in and you don't have all these connections, and coming out of college, like we didn't really have these connections, it's just, it's challenging, right? Like, you have to overcome a lot of obstacles. And at the same time, like, we were scrappy college kids who worked out of my co-founder's mom's attic for 3 years while we got this company started, right? Like we would genuinely walk through my co-founder's mom's apartment. I would see what they're making for breakfast every morning. And we would sort of go up three floors, and we would be in the attic, and we would pick and pack all the product out of there and tag all the pieces. And it was something that, if I started it now, I would never do, right? But when you're 24 years old, it's totally fine. And so there are definitely advantages and disadvantages of coming out with no connections and no money and, you know, not having those resources to compete with Nike. But over time, you do build those relationships, and you know, the product's gotten so much better and the story is great. And, you know, I think we do really have world-class, I mean, Runner's World named our shorts the best shorts of the year. And, you know, when people see that, they pay attention. And, you know, it just took us a while to get there.
Yeah. And I'm sorry again for bothering you when you were on your vacation to be probably the 800th person to tell you that I saw your shorts in Runner's World.
That's cool. Yeah. I will always take a text when people say, you know, I saw you at this place, because it's just, it's, you know, when you're starting an apparel company, huge benefits that you get. And I've talked to other, you know, running apparel owners. When you see other people wearing your clothes, or you see it like out in the wild, it just gives you a sense of like, wow.
Have you walked past anyone wearing it and been like, hey, that's me. Like, I made that. I wouldn't.
I definitely have. I'll definitely be like a little bit. I'm like, oh, like, where'd you get that? It's so interesting. And then, you know, you sort of like learn from people, you know, you try and get those sort of like honest feedback, and people either rave about you, or they say, oh yeah, you know, luckily we haven't gotten too much of this, but like, it's like, oh yeah, I can't remember where I got this. They're all right. You know, but you obviously hope you get like the best case scenario, but you want to have an honest feedback.
Yeah.
And I will do that way too often. You know, I'll catch up with someone running like, oh, those are cool shorts. Where'd you get them? And it's great to hear their stories.
Do you say it right at the end? Be like, hey, that's my brand. See ya. Bye.
I do. I mean, it's like, it's such a good joy that I get from like seeing people's reaction afterwards. It's like, you know, it's a total ego boost, frankly. But I'll definitely, you've, I like to have that.
To bring your ego down a level, tell us about how you continued to keep fighting when, you know, not just kind of getting your name up, building those connections, but I would imagine at a certain point, some brands within that industry would have wanted to shut out, you know, not just you, but with you guys being in Boston, you know, Tracksmith is another smaller brand that's in Boston. And is it, how's the one with the K pronounced? Carhu? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
All in Boston, you know, all kind of starting to, I mean, I think you guys are definitely pulling ahead now, but I'm sure some of these bigger brands, you know, wouldn't have wanted you as a smaller brand to kind of come through. How did you keep yourself kind of going in this situation?
Yeah. So I'll say this, like, you know, a lot of these bigger brands, I think they try and shut us out, and not just us, but like all smaller brands, out of being in a lot of these stores. You know, like a lot of the stores we worked with, they said, okay, like, we're going to buy up all your space. We're going to have a store within a store, and we don't want you carrying any other brands. And that was like, you know, that had moments where it was very hard. You know, I'm not going to name any stores, name any brands, but there were times where we essentially got shut out because these other brands gave better deals, you know, like it's going to be 10% off and you can take 90 days to pay for the product. And you know, we can't compete with that. Mm-hmm. Can't compete with those sorts of margins. And so it was really tough. But actually, like, something that has been nice is that, you know, even though that might come from the top of these corporations, being in Boston, where, you know, I'm good friends with a lot of these people. So like, I got drinks with Matt, the founder of Tracksmith, last week. And, you know, we talked through some of these things. I'm good friends with Jordan from, you know, the head of sales from Carhu. And I think he texted me last week, you know, runners are okay sharing these stories, you know, and this goes back to, I think, you know, at a race, you might be competing with these people, but they want to help you. You know, I think it's all, there's this runner mentality of trying to get the best out of yourself and not just trying to win and beat everybody else, but really to try and make the most out of the resources that you're given. And being in Boston, where there's New Balance and Saucony and Puma and Reebok and, you know, Topo and, you know, 15 other running brands, for the most part, these smaller running brands really do want to help each other.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
Me too. Yeah, it's great, because I think the more great brands there are, the more runners can have gear and be inspired to run. And there's all these sort of consequence efforts. And at the same time, we're all competing against Nike. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all just like, you know, minnows in an ocean trying to compete against the giants. And we all just want to see each other succeed.
Yeah. And actually, I completely understand that people often think the same with me and the other female, particularly female podcasters. But actually, you know, I talk to Lindsay Hine maybe once a week. I talk to Ali Feller maybe once a month. Like, I talk to Carrie Tollefson all the time. Like, these other women who people think we're competing against each other. Like, oh, if they listen to you, then they don't listen to these podcasts. Well, we actually see it as kind of, it rises us all up. And if we can have conversations about, you know, what we want to do when we work with brands together, then we can go at brands as a unit, essentially. And it, you know, helps us all in the long run. So I think it takes a lot of maturity and actually a lot of confidence in yourself to be able to get to that point where you can let go of that competitiveness and see it as, you know, actually, if we put our brains together, we can, you know, maybe not be a minnow in the ocean, but you could be maybe like a tuna or something, like trying to still come up on that whale. But, you know, you've got more of a chance that way than you would be on your own. So I'm glad to hear you said that. And I think it's important that we did get to say this to everyone listening, because it's not kind of a this or that kind of situation. So thank you for mentioning that. And were there any moments along the way that you and Mike kind of said, I don't know, like, is this worth it? Like, are we going to make it? Like, did you have any of those?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, not recently, but definitely, like, you know, there are moments in which there was one time, you know, back when I first got started, Runner's World did this piece about us in their human race section. And it was this big story all about John Jay. And we were so excited. And it was going to appear in their February edition, which comes out in January. And we had all of our new product coming in. And the article went up and our product was delayed 3 weeks. So we had no product to sell. And then when it finally did come in, all of the shorts liners were sewed in backwards. Yeah. Can you like imagine that? Like, like, out of all of them, we're like, oh, these look great. They look great. And you're like, put on, you're like, oh my God, this does not fit well. And you're like, you know, your heart drops and you're like, you start sweating and you're like, I don't know how we're going to make this. And eventually, like, you just, you know, you have those moments of panic and, you know, you sort of like, you go for a run, right? And you sort of regroup afterwards and you say, okay, we're going to be all right. And that's kind of what happened for multiple points in Jonji's life. Mm-hmm. You know, we had these times in which we thought, you know, there was not going to be a future. And again, like, we're so lucky, like, this year's been a really good year and we haven't had those discussions, but, like, you know, we're really stubborn. You know, we're young. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have, like, a pet, you know, like, I have, like, nothing to take care of. And having something that you deeply care about, and not just from, like, a business standpoint, but something you deeply care about, the mission of what you're standing for. Mm-hmm. It allows you to go through this, like, really hard times. And frankly, like, I've talked to, like, a lot of other entrepreneurs help us get out, like, you know, not just in the running industry. And I do love talking to other, you know, I talked to Sally from Wazelle mm-hmm. last Friday about, you know, sort of systems that they use. And, you know, you can commiserate with other people from other companies, and that helps you get through the hard times too. And talking to other, you know, startups who have been in our world, like, they help you get through it. And I'll tell you what else helps you get through it is, like, you panic and you go for a run and you get the clear head on. And then you just sort of say, okay, like, we can get through this. Everything's gonna be okay. It's like going, you know, having a bad race. You know, you think, like, you think I wasted all this time. It wasn't mm-hmm. worth it. Mm-hmm. Then you get a little reflection, you go for a run, you think about it some more, and you know that it's just going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's a running really nice metaphor for it.
Absolutely. And I've heard something very similar to that happening to someone. I've been trying to rack my brain who it is, but I was a really big podcast. I remember hearing it. Someone who is, you know, world famous now, like, really big time. And they had something like that happen with their first big order. I wish I could remember who it was, but it was something massive. And they, same kind of thing. They were like, what am I going to do? Like, this is, and you had that moment of kind of, I'm just not cut out for this. I'm just going to leave it. And now they're a billionaire at least. I wish I could remember who it was. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes when I figure it out. But I remember hearing that and the woman's, it was a woman who was talking. I remember her saying, like, in every business, there's going to be a moment like this. And you know, you just have to kind of get up and keep fighting and figure it out. Like, take that moment to absolutely freak out. Take that hour, and then
we do freak out.
Yeah, as you would and as you should. Now, one other thing I want to ask you about just before we kind of start wrapping up here, and I want to just mention, you mentioned the Air Libre travel, but just for someone, there's a lot of skepticism right now about people giving money, about charities, about where the money's actually going, how it's being used. How do you guarantee, like, how do you know where your money, the 5% that you're giving back, how do you know that's going where you want it to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. And something that we built down the DNA of the business is, you know, when we were first getting this started, we actually had, like, someone who was in the social work school at WashU, was a graduate student who really cared about these impact metrics and really cared about making sure they work with the best organizations, is that for every single season, we want to work with amazing organizations that truly make a difference. And that's making a difference with these clean water programs. Mm-hmm. And that's not just in the short term. That's using capital efficient ways. Make sure that these are not just one of the situations where you build a water well and then you fly away and then, you know, 3 weeks later it's broken, right? So, for instance, you know, I visited our Uganda and Kenya partner in Evidence Action. I visited one of their Kenya sites, and what they do is they build these chlorinated water points, and we spent a while vetting them, making sure that they are amazing at what they do, and looked at their 990s. Actually, my fiance is, she works at a foundation, and she, you know, she sort of has guided us in sort of like what to look for these different 990 reports. And we want to be able to make sure that when we're giving the money, this is something that has a holistic approach. So Evidence Action in Kenya, they build these chlorinated water points all throughout rural Kenya and rural Uganda. and they will have people visit them and educate the locals on how to use them, make sure they're actually being used, and then also fixing them when they're broken. People on the ground, people who live in these communities, are actually fixing them when they're broken, and making sure if you have sort of this 360-degree approach for every single season I work with is just so vital, because that's what makes the most of an impact. And so we want to make sure we do that due diligence, make sure it's going to a great partner.
That's good. That's really refreshing to hear that and know that you have put the detail, the thought into making it right. Now you mentioned you go to visit the countries, you just said about that there. And you mentioned earlier that you have a partner, Air Libre, who actually, we haven't talked about this properly, but you do Janji Travel. So tell the listeners about that, because I will have something exciting coming for listeners.
Yeah.
Not just yet, but if you could tell the listeners just a bit about what you do there, what those kind of things involve.
Yeah, so we have this program in which we want to use, like, you know, as a brand, we want to use running as this way to see the world. That's powerful. Right. And we do that through, as a brand, as a clothing brand, through images, right? We do that through storytelling on, like, you know, how this product was made. We actually want to, like, make that happen in real life. And that means bringing Janji customers and fans of Janji to these different countries. So, for instance, in September, we have an amazing trip scheduled for Mexico City. And we're going to be working with we work with this incredible group. They're called Aire Libre, that does all these running trips around the world. And they put on a Janji running trip in Mexico City. So you're with great people. And what you do is you put the brand to life by using running as this passport to see the world. So you're going to run all around the environs of, like, Mexico City. So going through this incredible volcano near Mexico, eating incredible food, using sort of the traditional, like, Mexican saunas, meeting really cool locals, you know, listening to live music that's of Mexico City. We've done these trips all around. So I actually, in May, went to Bolivia, and we worked with an amazing local Bolivian guide, knew Bolivia. He knew, like, every flower that was in Bolivia. Mm. He loved Bolivia, and everywhere we go, we work with these local people to really capture Bolivia, you know, in that example, Bolivia or wherever it is, in a way that is not like going on a traditional group tour. It's not like going in there and sort of reading online what to do. It is a truly, truly authentic experience that at its core uses running. So, you know, running through the streets of La Paz in Bolivia, or, you know, what we did was we ran through this really cool park that, like, nobody knows about in Bolivia, that has the largest, like, geological, like, vertical structures, like, anywhere in the world. And that is, like, sort of the representative of, like, the authenticity of what we do, is we want to go off the beaten path, just running as this way to explore the world, and then also meet really great people from these countries in a really socially impactful way. And so we want to do this all over. We have plenty of trips scheduled for the future. And it's something that we just feel really powerful about. It's the best way to see the world is through running.
I love that. And just quickly for someone, how do you make sure, like, safety wise, as these are countries that are developing, like, how do you make sure that people feel, for someone who's maybe worrying a bit about that listening?
Sure. Yeah. So we go to great hotels that are all vetted beforehand. We have drivers everywhere where we go. We work with people who speak the language. We work with people who have done this route many times before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that it's like traveling, right? Things come up. But, you know, for instance, like, you know, Bolivia is, like, really high altitude, and I got a little sick, right? Mm-hmm. And we had the medicine to sort of fix me, and I was back at it in, like, you know, 16 hours, something like that. And you're with, and I can't emphasize this enough, you go on one of these Janji travel trips, you're just with such great people.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about us, but, like, we just attract, like, I think, like, really awesome individuals. And the people who, like we did this trip in May, we're still all on a group thread together. We talk all the time. Mm. Like, They're just wonderful people. And when I travel, I meet up with these people. Because when you go on these trips, you also make true connections through running.
Absolutely. I love that so much. Thank you so much for sharing about that. Okay, just to wrap up here. So once again, people can use the code TINAMUIR, T-I-N-A-M-U-I-R, for 10% off the Janji website. And it's runjanji.com, correct?
That's exactly right.
So that's spelled R-U-N-J-A-N-J-I.com. And Dave, where do you see the brand in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? What would you like the ultimate to be?
You know, I think the biggest thing for us is if we can inspire runners, if we can grow to work to highlight these artists around the world and to really, you know, of course, I want to see more people when I go for a run, stop them and ask them where they heard about this. You know,
you'll be running along. You won't get a run in 20 years. You'll be just walking along the trail, stopping everyone.
That sounds great. I would love that. But I think our biggest thing is like, how do we create an amazing running community for people who are dedicated to running for something bigger than just themselves? Mm-hmm. And that's using running as an amazing tool to change the world. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that we grow, the more that we talk to people, the more people have like, just check out Janji. We take like one step closer to that. And so how far we've come, we first got this thing started, is absolutely unbelievable to me. And I just, I'm treating this like a marathon where I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm pacing myself and for as long as I can.
I love that so much. All right. We've just got the wrap up questions here. One piece of advice you'd like to give the listeners for life.
You know, I think that running can be, and you know, I've said this a few times now, but it can be the best way to see the world. And so if you can, whenever you travel, the first thing that you do, or maybe the second thing that you do, is to go for a run. You're going to see the world in a way that other people just could never imagine seeing it. And you're going to get more out of traveling than everyone else, just using running as his tool.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you so much. All right. One person to follow on social media.
I don't really have Instagram, so
you doesn't have to be Instagram. It can be someone to look up to, someone to be inspired by, it, anything.
You know, I personally love Chris McDougall, and Born to Run. I never actually like sort of went all in on sort of like a lot of the things he does, but I think he's just, beyond just being a great writer, he's just such a great person. Yes. And it all comes through his social media.
So true. Yep, he is. Okay, how do you want to be remembered on this show?
If, you know, I think if we can inspire one more person to get out there and want to go on their next trip somewhere in the world and to use running as this way to meet people when they're traveling, I think that'd be great. And I hope so, you know, your listeners are excited to get out there and to travel more than ever and to hopefully see some really cool routes and introduce yourself to some other runners that are local to that area.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you. All right. Finally, a running for real moment.
Oof. I'm trying to think of a good one here. A running for real moment for me was, you know, Boston Marathon last year was one of these. Did you run Boston last year? In 2018.
No, but I heard it was really fun.
Yeah. So pouring rain outside, just awful, awful conditions. I actually went basically blind the last 6 miles of the run. Yeah, like I couldn't actually see anything beyond like my if I were to outstretch my arm, I couldn't see anything beyond that. And I finished it and I was, you know, blue in the face. But afterwards, like, you know, my friends and my family sort of huddled up against me and sort of like kept me warm. And that to me is like sort of a metaphor of running in itself, right? Like you can sort of push through those tough moments. But really what it comes down to is just sort of everyone coming together at the end and huddling up and, you know, having that love and seeing that you accomplished something pretty cool. That to me is just like the definition of running for real.
Oh, that's so true. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that story. That is wonderful. All right, Dave, so you mentioned you are not on Instagram, so you don't have to mention that, but you can tell the listeners who are on Instagram where they can find Janji on there and all the other places, as well as the website.
Yeah, so you can follow us at RunJanji on Instagram, on Twitter, follow us on, or like us on Facebook. And then make sure you're using the code for 10% off. It's TinaMuir10, is that right? Or just TinaMuir? TinaMuir10 for...
No, just my name, TinaMuir.
Okay.
Yeah.
TinaMuir for 10% off your first, your second order on Janji, whatever it is. And we hope that you check us out.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing the story, for letting us kind of hear it, and just for all that you do. Thank you for being, you know, a power in this world, that you are trying to change the world in a good way and do things that are going to only continue to help runners. So thank you.
And thank you for all that you do. You are truly inspiring. Your podcasts are inspiring. Your story is inspiring. And it's just a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much to MetPro for sponsoring this episode of the Running for Real podcast. By now, you probably know that these ads we are using instead to talk to Angelo Poli, founder of MetPro, who has given up his time to answer our questions that we've been wondering about nutrition-related products. So today, Angelo, I thought we would go over age. How does age factor into your metabolism? As we do have a lot of ages listening to this show.
Can I opt to lie and say age doesn't influence anything?
Ooh, I'd rather you didn't.
I can't do that. So here's why I say that. I get asked that a lot. And yes, of course, we all know that your metabolism changes as we age. There's no denying that. But here's what I absolutely promise you. It will not be the determining factor in your success, regardless of your age. I have countless clients who are successfully improving their health, improving their runs, improving their fitness, managing their weight, and just thriving in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. In fact, we just had a gal that ran her first half marathon in her 70s just recently. Yeah. It was just fabulous to hear that. So, you know, it's true. We don't have a DeLorean going 88 miles an hour to go back in time. We can't control that. And yes, age does impact all of us. But I don't want you to think in those terms, because it won't stop you from making progress. And that is the truth.
That's great. And thank you for explaining that and being real with us about that one. But I am happy to hear it is not the key thing to success. That is wonderful. Thank you to Angelo for giving your time today. And you guys listening can go to MetPro, that's MetPro.co/Tina, to go get your free consultation and find out more information. Go do it. My friends, if you have a minute and you could leave a review on your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or whatever else podcast player you use to listen to this podcast, or if you would subscribe to this podcast, you will help me get out in front of new runners to make our tribe even bigger and even better. It might not seem like you as one person can make a difference, but really, it helps a lot. And it shows me you appreciate the hard work I put in for those. Thank you so much. That was so interesting. And I don't know about you, but I am really inspired. I'm going to make sure I go on one of their trips someday. Sounds amazing. And I've looked at the itineraries and it just sounds like exactly what I would love to do. I'll give you more information when I decide which one I'm going to go on. Because if I do go on one of those, I'd love to have you join me or go ahead without me if any of the trips sound good now. Remember, you can also get 10% off the entire website using code TinaMuir by going to runjanji.com. I also tell you my favorites, the products that I like the most at tinamuir.com/Janji. You'll be able to see which ones I wear the most, obviously, on my Instagram at TinaMuir88 or on my Facebook /RealTinaMuir. And you can also match them with what you see on the site, because you'll see lots of pictures of me in those clothes.
The show notes have all those links at tinamuir.com/episode137. Now, next week, we have the one and only Bill Rogers on the show. Boston Billy, who was the former American record holder in the marathon. He's best known for his 4 victories at the Boston Marathon, including 3 straight from 1978 to 1980, and also the New York City Marathon. We had a great chat and I can't wait for you to hear it. Until then, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Running for Real podcast. Be sure to check out tinamuir.com for show notes and even more helpful running information.